This is Lex
and Tori.
We're from Bright Light Parade. Thanks for listening to this World Viewers podcast.
Hi, Mo.
Excuse me, bad guys. I am running out of air. Gotta get pumped.
Welcome to the World View Warriors podcast, challenging and affirming your faith to equip you to impact this generation for Jesus Christ.
Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
It's a transmitter, a radio for speaking to God.
Go ahead, make my day.
Welcome to this edition of the Worldview Warriors podcast. My name is Jason DeZurek. Glad you guys are tuning in today. And I've got a special guest in with me all the way from Minneapolis, Minnesota. She's actually my sister. Her name's Rebecca DeZurek. How are you doing, Rebecca?
I'm doing great.
Awesome. And, you know, we're going to, before we get to it, I just wanted to remind you to give the office a call, and you can find that number at worldviewwarriors.org, because we have a new number, and I don't know it, so sorry about that, but go there, worldviewwarriors.org.
Nice.
You can also call the number of 419-310-1949 if you really want to get a hold of me personally. So, anyway, also... just excited that you guys are tuning in because, you know, we've got some new things coming up. We're going to be traveling around the country. You can go to our events page at worldviewwarriors.org and just find out more of what kind of events where I'll be speaking, where our other speakers will be speaking, like CJ and Shelly Hitz, Dan Schilling. We got Shane Adams. My sister's going to be doing stuff with us this year. Anyways, just a whole lot of great stuff coming up. And just continue to come back to the Worldview Warriors page. Also, find me on Facebook. Love to talk to you, Jason DeZurek, DEZURIK, and I think my sister has a Facebook as well, which is...
Yep, well, it's Rebecca DeZurek.
How do you spell your first name, though?
Oh, R-E-B-E-C-C-A,
and then
DEZURIK.
It's the same as mine,
yeah.
If you hadn't figured that out. Beck and I have been talking about, following God. What does that look like? Is it just church attendance? Is it, you know, actually just hearing God? What is it? And you've heard me say this before, but I just want to remind you about this in 1 Corinthians 15. It says, "For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile or worthless. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men." I don't know about you, Beck, but I am sick and tired of people's idea and being taught that it's all about religion, if you will, and it's all about doing things within the church, and it's all about that kind of stuff, and it's not really a relationship anymore with a lot of people. What do you think about that?
Right, and you're talking about programming, basically.
Mm-hmm,
programming,
mm-hmm.
You know, being, and hear me, not that any of this is bad.
Right.
You know, being a Sunday school teacher is not bad. Helping with the youth group, leading a choir, doing a small group, all of that stuff is good.
Right.
But what happens is, I think people overextend themselves and they think that being a Sunday school teacher and being a worship leader or a choir, you keep doing, and let's say you do four things a year, and you're just tired and wore out, and there's no passion there anymore. There's mm-hmm. nothing, and you think by doing this stuff, I know God,
right?
Because
right.
you're around it,
yeah.
And by calling, like, let's say there's a piece of paper, there's a piece of paper sitting right in front of me, and there's writing all over it. I can't say that it is a blank piece of paper, because it's not. There's something written on it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's blank pieces of paper inside this notebook, but they don't have writing on it. They have to be written on. And so that's kind of like being with God, too, is, you know, to be in with him, you need to commune with him, and you need to understand his heart and, like, read his word and spend time with him in prayer and scripture, and then you get the things written on your heart.
Right. Yeah, I think a lot of times we get caught up in, okay, I need to do my devotion for the day. I need to do my prayer time for the day. But that's still a duty.
Mm-hmm.
And it, not that that's bad, like you just said. That's good stuff, mm-hmm. okay? That's really good stuff. However, I think we can get just caught up in doing. And now see, this is where I think a lot of people get confused by when I'm talking about doing. Because the word is very clear on this. It says, do not just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. Now, I preach that all the time, and you all out there know that. But God is not saying, do of be the choir director, be the Sunday school teacher. He's saying, go out and do what I've commanded you to do, which is to go out and love the world and your other brothers and sisters in Christ, which means go out and actually help them. Go do that. Meaning if somebody's out there, and let's just, I use this a lot, but if they have a flat tire, maybe you stop and help them change that tire. What do you think?
Well, I agree.
I know that that's just kind of weird, but...
Well, I even think of the people that you know.
Absolutely.
You know, how many times are there people that... Well, anybody, like, let's say somebody got hurt and they need their lawn mowed.
Right.
How many of you can actually go and mow their lawn while they're recuperating?
Sure.
People don't do things like that for people these days. Mm-hmm. If they do, it's very far and few between. And that is showing God's love, and that's helping the body, and that's stretching out, you know, being the hands, feet, and voice of God. And He uses us. He's using us as his vessel. I mean, things don't get done if we don't do them, because he does do things, yes. But he works through us.
Well, I'm going to use an example with that, with the mowing of the lawn or shoveling snow or whatever it might be. You know, because I've actually had this happen where a student will come over to my house, which I'm grateful for this offer. But they'll say, hey, I'll shovel your sidewalk. I'm like, great, that's awesome. Yeah, I'll do it for $20.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing. I'm willing to pay you, okay? But don't come necessarily expecting to be paid. Is that, like, if I, especially if somebody's hurt, like you said, or if they're an elderly person,
mm-hmm.
it's like, how about let's just help them?
Yep.
You think?
Yep. Or exactly. Just why do we have this mentality that we have to, if we do something, we get something? You
yeah.
know, not just because we have a feeling or a longing that is telling us, you know what, you need to go do this. And I think sometimes, you know, people think, oh, I can do this because I can make money. Well, maybe God's putting it on your heart to just go do it to be nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and there's a very practical, I think, very practical example in Scripture that Beck's going to share with us out of 1 Samuel. And we're going to be in 1 Samuel. What chapter are we going to be in?
1 Samuel 3.
Okay.
This has been my favorite for a few weeks now, probably over a month.
Okay, great.
But in here, I'm gonna just read it, and then we'll explain. I'll probably explain as I go on.
Sure.
It says, Now this is 1 Samuel 3, 1. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in these days. There was no widespread revelation, and it came to pass at the time when Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see. Now, I want to point out, Samuel is a boy. So now Samuel represents somebody who is young and vibrant, and he is in the church, and he is it says he's ministering to the Lord with Eli. Now, before Eli. Eli was the one who also worked inside the temple and
well,
doing
he's a priest.
This. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so Samuel was learning all this stuff. And it's telling us here that Eli's getting tired. He's getting tired. He's growing dim. And so Samuel has been around this forever. I think he's been
well,
since birth, right?
No, not birth, but it was since he was weaned from his mother.
Yeah, since he was really little.
Yep.
And Eli's been there forever. And so you got a young person who's been in around church things, around spiritual things, and an older person who's been around church things. And one's wide-eyed and awake, and one is starting to become tired. And verse 3, and before the lamp of God went out into the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of the Lord was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here I am. So he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And he said, I did not call. Lie down again. And he went and laid down. So basically, Samuel thinks that Eli called him because that's what he does. You know, he's been following Eli, who is his elder, and teaching him these things. So he thought Eli called him. So he got up. Then the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And he answered, I did not call, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not know the Lord, nor the words of the Lord yet revealed to him. Okay, so I'm finding this very interesting that he's been around all of this spiritual stuff ever since he's been weaned. But he did, it says right here, he did not know the Lord, and he wasn't, it wasn't revealed to him. And so right there, it's telling me that people can be around spiritual things and even grow up in the church, and they don't even know the Lord at all. You know, and so, so I mean, here's a just a great example of why it's important to, you know, have that relationship. But this is what happened. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So now it's three times. So God's not giving up.
And I'm sure Samuel's going, what is going on?
Exactly.
Okay.
So he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you did call me. Then Eli perceived, now he perceived, he finally recognized that, oh my gosh, wait a minute, this is the Lord. Now, Eli, growing up, he actually had a relationship with God. He knew the ways of the Lord, but it said at the top that there had been no open revelation, no nothing. It was very stagnant. And so they got used to that stagnant yuck. And that's what I call it. and so, you know, God wanted to try to do something different, but Samuel did not know him yet.
Right.
So he's trying to get his attention. So Eli, I'm so excited that Eli finally perceived. And so this is what he said. Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So he instructed Samuel what to do. So Samuel went and laid down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as all the other times, Samuel, Samuel. And this is an interesting thing. I don't know if you guys know this. When God says something twice, that means it's a covenant. And so now he just said his name, Samuel, Samuel. Now he's going to make a covenant with Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hear it will tingle. So now the Lord just said his name twice, which means a covenant. So he's going to say he's going to do something something new, something fresh, something that nobody has ever seen before. And now he's got to learn all this stuff. Now, with this whole example, the way I just keep mulling over this and mulling over this, because I don't necessarily think that it's terrible that Eli didn't recognize or whatever, but I just see it as an opportunity to be able to use this example and go, okay, yes, there are younger people and they don't quite understand things about God yet. But we do have this older generation, and older could mean just anybody older in Christ.
Right, right.
Okay, so I'm not saying age specific.
Right.
Okay? But most of the time, you know, I mean, I don't know who's going to be listening to this, but if you are older, you know, a grandparent or older, please, please take time with the younger people. And
even if it doesn't seem like they want to be with you.
Yeah. I mean, because I think it's important that, first off, that you can remain fresh, you know, and then they can glean off of you what you know. And otherwise, because they need to be taught. They need to be taught taught about God so that they can have that longing. Now, God can call us. Obviously, God did not give up.
Right.
God did not give up with the boy Samuel.
Exactly.
But Eli then instructed him what to do. And so I think that we just need to start having that new freshness to teach the young.
Absolutely. And I wasn't planning on going this direction, but I think it's kind of neat how, you know, look, if you're listening to this and you're of the younger generation or older generation, I really want to encourage you like Beck is talking about, to sink into the younger generation. Now, if you're part of the younger generation, I really want to encourage you to take this and put it on your iPod, your MP3, whatever you got, and take it to your grandmother, take it to your grandfather, take it to someone who is older, and have them please listen to this. Because out of Titus, we know that we as older people are supposed to sink into you. We absolutely are supposed to. In fact, I want to encourage all of you that are listening to read the entire book of Titus. It's not very difficult. It's three whole chapters, okay? In my Bible that I'm looking at right now, it's one page, okay? So in Titus 2, it says this: you must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love and endurance, in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Okay, you got that, ladies? We've got to watch our mouths. No offense there. And guys,
us ladies
should not
like to gab.
Yes,
that's why. It's not a
gossip.
Slam. It's just, you know, ladies like to talk. So
I appreciate that. And men, I'm gonna point you out here too. Okay? Self-controlled. We need to be self-controlled of and of sound faith. We need to be the leader in our home, okay? It goes on to say, then they can train, when you have sound doctrine and you're learning properly, it says, then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children and to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Now, that's not saying, men, you get to lord over your woman and, you know, she gets to do everything. Come on, no. And guys, don't think we're trying to misquote the Bible here either, because you got to remember in Ephesians, it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And it talks about wives submitting to their husbands. But husbands, here we go. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church. And it goes on to talk about without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish. In other words, you need to love your wife that much, guys. And I'm talking about your wife, truly your wife. Also, it says we should be encouraged, that husbands should encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. And it talks about in your teachings to show integrity, just like Eli was doing with Samuel. But if you learn more about Eli, his sons weren't so great, but he sunk into Samuel. And in a way, I believe that paid off. What do you think, Beck?
Well, and that is what I'm glad you pointed that out. Yeah, Eli's sons were not doing, they were doing just terrible things within the temple. And so that is the other thing, is when you get tired as a leader or as somebody who's a mentor and you're just around spiritual things and you know God's voice, guess what? You can screw up too. And you can turn your face and not deal with what's going on behind the scenes or even in front of you because you're old and you're tired.
Yeah,
and that is an important part, is, you know, not to be a prude or whatever, but if somebody is really doing things against God, speak up.
Yeah,
and that's what happened with Eli, is that he just got too tired. And yes, he was with Samuel, but he wasn't all that great. I'm not trying to lift him up, but
sure.
but I just think it's a good point to bring out, you know, that you can be around those spiritual things and you're not, you know. You're not it.
Well, I want to encourage everyone that's listening to this. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you to just ask him into your heart. You know, just say, here I am, Lord. I want to do what you want. Come into my life. You know, I'm sorry about my sins, and please forgive me. And just thank you for dying on the cross for my sins and raising from the dead. Just make it real. Just be honest with God. And then I want to encourage you to find someone that you, at least from what you can tell, they look like they're following God. You'll know it, okay? For love, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It says there's no law against such things. And so I just want to encourage you, find someone who's willing to sink their life into you. I meet with a group of guys every Monday morning, and we just sharpen each other, get ready to for the week, and just get ready to serve God in all that we do. Becky, you got anything, one last thing you want to say to our listeners, please?
Yeah, I just wanted to point out the fruit of the Spirit. I didn't understand that when I was younger, and you just need to look for people who have those characteristics. I didn't, dumb me, I guess, I didn't understand what that meant.
Yeah.
And so if you see those characteristics in somebody, they're probably following the Holy Spirit.
Sure, sure. So everyone, just want to thank you for taking time to listen to this podcast. Beck, if anyone wants to get a hold of you, where can they find you?
Website, www.RebeccaDezurek.com. That's RebeccaDezurik, and tons of links on there.
All right, great. And you also can find more information about Worldview Warriors at worldviewwarriors.org. And then also for youth, for students that are listening, go check out equippedgeneration.com to find out more on our student page. I want to just encourage you, go find more blogs, find more video stuff, all that good stuff at those sites. And I have a Facebook page too, Jason Dezurik, DezurikURIK. Glad you guys are tuning in. And don't forget, too, the radio show every Sunday night on WXML. You can, if you're somewhere around the country, listen in. WXML.cc is where you can listen in. And it's at 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So if you're out on the West Coast, then you're however many hours it is. I think it's 4 hours, 3 hours. So it'd be 7, 6, 5, 4 o'clock in the afternoon is when you can hear that every Sunday night live. And just appreciate you guys tuning in. And we give away a lot of good stuff and all the good things, too. Thank you for listening to this Worldview Warriors podcast. Take care. And bye-bye, everybody.
Seize the day. Make your lives extraordinary.
He's looking at you, kid.
In case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.